Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for listening to The Week on The Lal Street. I am Nandita Khemka and with me is Anuj Singhal, who is the managing editor of CNBC Awaaz. And he will be decoding the key trends in the market and what to watch out for in the coming week. Well, thanks for joining in, Anuj. It's great to be chatting with you today.
Thanks, Nandita. Good to be chatting with you. I mean, of course, I've known you for long and my first podcast with you. Looking forward to it.
Sure, Anuj, looking forward to it too. So let me start by asking you a question about the markets. Anuj, markets were largely in consolidation mood all of this week. Like now, two of the biggest events are out of the way. Like Gujarat poll results came in where the BJP saw a massive victory. And the RBI policy also is out of the way. We saw a 35 basis point rate hike as expected. Do you expect the nervousness to persist ahead of the Fed meeting that is happening next week?
Yeah, I think the Fed meet obviously now becomes the biggest talking point, Nandita. I think what the market did this week was the market swung between, fearing of a correction and testing new highs. And within that, what the market did clearly was made a distinction in terms of the leadership pocket and the non-leadership pocket. The Bank Nifty made a new all-time high. In fact, even on Friday, the Bank Nifty made an all-time high before seeing profit taking. And even then, the Bank Nifty did not collapse. The Nifty, on the other hand, saw a sharp move down towards the 20-day moving average. And that's because of the large decline in IT, which we'll talk about later in the podcast, of course.
Sure.
So in that sense, the market clearly made a move that the markets again worried about what the Fed might do. Till about last week, the market was getting a sense that we might be closer to terminal rate. And that's why the market was making those kind of moves in individual sectors. But I think the recent data and the recent commentary from the Fed officials in the U.S. has again given rise to the fears that maybe, the terminal rate is still some distance away. And in that sense, the worries are back. Also, the worries of recession are back in the U.S. And that's also something which weighed down on some of the sectors. I've to cut a long story short. I expect markets to show some nervousness and some volatility going forward into the Fed event.
Clearly, Anuj, the early Santa rally that we saw has kind of fizzled out now. But speaking about the RBI policy, 35 basis points was largely expected by the markets. But when you look at the commentary by the central bank, a lot of economists are saying that it was aggressive, if not hawkish. In fact, some of them are also expecting another 25 basis point rate hike in February. Even Uday Kotak has made this point. What are your expectations? Do you think this was not the last of the rate hikes?
I think there is one rate hike left. I mean, obviously, if you heard the governor, you could clearly sense. Nandita, the view in the market was divided heading in the policy, because I did a lot of interaction with the market officials. And the sense I got was that some of them believed that if 35 was done in this policy, then that could be the last. Mm-hmm. And if 25 was done, then maybe one more is left. But there was one view, a slightly minority view before the policy that even a 35 will not be the last. And I think after the policy, that became the majority view that we have one more rate hike left in the system. The issue with, getting obsessed with the last rate hike, etc., is that we actually, in that case, are missing the wood for the trees. Because the big call that we need to take is that our interest rates headed even higher, or are we somewhere near peak? And if we're somewhere near peak, it doesn't matter if there's another 25 left or another 50 left. That is a matter of conjecture. But if we are somewhere near the peak, I think in that case, the market will start to move 3 to 6 months ahead of that. So, and that's what the market does. I mean, if you notice, the rate sensitive sectors, they've actually started to show some resilience over the last 1 month or so. So my sense is, even if one more rate hike is left in the system, I think rate hikes as a trigger for the market or as a worry for the market, perhaps might be in the last stage.
Sure. Anuj, let's talk about the PSU banks now. Now, this was the biggest sectoral gainer this week. And even for the year, it is one of the best performers amongst all the other sectors. We've seen a lot of positive brokerage views coming in on this space. Do you see more room for upside in this pack, or should one look at booking profits and exiting now?
Now, one thing that I've learned in markets is that you don't take a decision on booking a profit just because you made a lot of money. You let that decision be left to the market. Because, Nandita, we could have had this conversation last week, previous week, week before that, And, you know, every week, the bank, the PSU Bank Nifty keeps getting 3%, 4%, 5%. Year to date, it's been 77%. You rightly said, it's been the biggest, this year. I think not just the brokerage news, we've had some of the best and the brightest minds in the mutual fund industry and in the hedge fund industry who have come on the channel, who have said that, you know, PSU banks are really right for a good buy. I just tell you something, you know, the best performing PSU bank, for example, Bank of Baroda, it'll be surprising for a lot of people that it's not even reclaimed its 2010 highs. I mean, forget about its all-time highs. So, you know, these stocks, I mean, if you got in PSU, Bank of Baroda in 2008 or 9, you would still be losing money. But on the other hand, if you got in BOB last year, you'd be making 5 times your money. So I think these are cyclical. These are never your core portfolio stocks. What the market is betting on in these PSU banks is that a large part of the cleanup is done, that the NPA cycle is over, and there is no new NPAs on the horizon. Of course, NPAs never, announce and then come, right? There's always something lurking in the background. But at least the field is open for next 2 years for PSU banks. Maybe the rally has been too sharp, but that's what markets do. Once, you know, you get a sense of a big rally, sometimes these moves are parabolic. We are in a parabola phase in PSU banks right now, in which you don't make exit decisions. You let that decision be on the market, because you never know, the 70% could become 170% for all you know. So just enjoy the ride and let the market take you out if you have been in it.
Sure, enjoy the ride in PSU banks. Well, that's the call from Anuj. Anuj, another space that came in focus this week particularly was the pharma pack. We saw regulatory concerns returning to haunt Sun Pharma, and of course the overhang was also on the Halol plant, which has been under regulatory scanner since 2015, if I'm not mistaken. Even though Sun Pharma has said that it hasn't really cut its guidance for the year, but other companies like Lupin, Glenmark have also come under the scanner of US FDA in the recent past. So, do you expect more pain for this sector going forward?
Stock moves aside, it's for long been my view that Indian pharma needs to get its act together. And look, in the US, they take each and every life very seriously. I think in India, we have a very lax attitude towards healthcare and, about the human life in general.
And this was accentuated during COVID as well.
It absolutely accentuated during COVID, and we saw the horrors. I experienced it firsthand, so I know it. So, look, the issue is, I think what the US FDA is doing is absolutely right. I mean, if they have any concerns, they'll put an import alert or warning letter or whatever. It might hurt the U.S. interest in itself, in that, you know, they might not get the cheaper drugs, but then, you know, nothing, you know, at the end of the day, the human life has to really be most important. So I think the Indian companies, we need to get their act together. And I think in any case, the U.S.-based pharma companies have been struggling in terms of getting some new blockbuster products. Lupin, for example, for long has been promising some blockbuster products but has not delivered. I think Sun Pharma and Dr. Reddy's here and there have managed to eke out some outperformance. But my sense is that the golden phase of profits that these companies and the high margin that these companies enjoy, they're long gone. And in that sense, I think some of these companies will at best be market performers. And I think it was clearly visible. You saw a big rally in pharma stocks in the first COVID wave.
Yes.
And after that, these stocks became underperformers. And these stocks now don't do well in a risk-off environment and in a risk-on environment as well. Sure, a couple of pharma stocks here or there will always find takers, like Cipla, for example. That will always happen. But as a sector, I think this sector has lost its mojo. And I think there are a couple of other interesting themes emerging within pharma, hospitals and allied spaces. They also need to get their act together. That's a different issue. But I think that there's more traction clearly in those spaces.
Sure. Anuj, let's also talk about the IT pack, which was the culprit in Friday's session. We saw HCL Tech lowering its sales guidance. In fact, Credit Suisse has also come out with a report on the sector, and it expects the top four, the big four, namely Infy, TCS, HCL Tech and Wipro, to fall anywhere between 10% to 27% if the US macros worsen. What should investors do now with these IT stocks?
Look, Manita, for long I was very bearish on IT, and that view played out. After that, about 2 or 3 weeks back, I turned positive on the US, but with the caveat that US should not hit a recession. If the US hits a recession, then all bets are off. But look, the sense I get is that these companies have fallen a lot in terms of valuation. The a big bubble which was building up in these companies over the last 3 years has got burst clearly. Valuation-wise, these stocks are not horribly expensive. In fact, some of the stocks like HCL Tech, for example, or Tech Mahindra or Wipro are now trading below their own median valuations of the last 10 years. So in that sense, I think valuation reset has happened. Now, how much more price correction is left will depend on, like HCL Tech has already announced that it will perhaps be towards the lower side of guidance. So, and if more and more companies announce that, then maybe these stocks see another downward move. Maybe they even test the recent 52-week lows, for all you know.
Oh.
But my sense is that, you know, if they retest the 52-week lows, purely from the risk-reward point of view, these stocks will become great bargain buys.
Great bargain buys at lows is what you're saying, right, Anuj?
Yes, absolutely.
Sure.
If they go back to their 52-week lows.
Okay, yeah. Sure. My next question is on Paytm. Surprise news coming of the company considering a share buyback next week. Now, as we know, shares have shaved off nearly 75% since it listed last year. Now, but do you think a buyback can revive its fortunes? Because CLSA has already upgraded the stock to buy from sell. So could anybody or could an investor assume that the worst is over for this counter?
Look, I read some of the brokerage reviews. I read the CLSA report that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, none of these brokerages have sort of upgraded the stock because, they see great potential of returns from here. Why they've upgraded is because the price has fallen so much that it becomes attractive.
Mm-hmm.
When CLSA upgraded the price, the market cap of the company was $3.5 billion, and $1 billion is cash that the company is sitting on. Now there's a debate on whether buyback should have been announced or there should have been a better use of the cash. That's, I think, management's prerogative. But I just say one thing, Mandita, and I said this on air today as well, that a buyback can support the stock price for some time. I mean, for how long is the buyback open? 3 months, 6 months, whatever time the buyback is open, okay, it will provide a temporary flow to the stock. Because ultimately, stocks are slaves of earnings. And if earnings don't come up, if they don't deliver in terms of earnings, if they don't deliver in terms of the kind of guidance that they've given in terms of turning EBITDA positive, X of ESOP cost, the market will make a mockery of this buyback. And, at the end of the day, they'll just end up burning cash. So it's okay that they're doing it. And I think they have met some good investors. They want to, they want to convey a message that maybe the worst is over. But really, the big moves will happen only if they deliver on numbers front. If they don't, then this buyback will be forgotten very soon, and the market will start seeing selling. But if they start to deliver on numbers, make no mistake about it, Paytm is a great brand. It's a great company. But it turns out to be a great stock at this price, I think time will tell. But buyback can only support for maybe another 2-3 months, that's it.
Right. Anuj, since we're talking about these new listings, let's also talk about the IPO markets. We've seen activity pick up in the second half of the year. The first half was, of course, a dampener. We saw a couple of companies also cancelling their or delaying their IPOs, right? But next week, again, we will be seeing three more companies hitting the markets. There's Sula, there is Landmark Cars, there's Abans Holding. Do you think the appetite is back now? And is it expected to continue in the coming year?
Look, Pixie Helga used to say that IPOs have four stages. A good IPO is at good price, which is when the bull market is young and nascent. Then good IPOs at bad prices, then bad IPOs at good prices, and finally bad IPOs at bad prices, which is when you have the peak greed. I think we are somewhere in the middle of second and third stage of IPOs. So I think there will be some IPOs in which you will make a lot of money. I think there will be some IPOs in which, they will fall 40, 50, 60% as well. I think it's going to be a very tough ask from here on. I think we went through a phase in which the market really had some really nice IPOs at a good price. And I'm talking about the days of DMart and IRCTC and all those times. Those are, of course, long gone. Nowadays, there's hardly any value in any of the IPOs. But what you can bet on is if any of the companies is going to deliver consistently from here on. So I think the jury is out. But my sense is that none of the IPOs which are lined up over the next 6 months really excites me a lot. And it's not as if, you know, I'm looking at the IPO calendar and saying, wow, this is going to be an IPO to watch out for. I think that is what I would say. But yes, there will be some winners as well, like it always happens. But I'm afraid a lot of the new IPOs will be duds, and only a few will be the winners.
Right. Well, with that, thanks a lot for joining in and sharing your insights today, Anuj. It was great chatting with you. And to all our listeners, thanks for tuning in and have a happy weekend.
Thank you, Nanita, and to all our listeners, happy weekend.
Thank you.